Welcome to Legends from the Hill, the Franciscan University alumni podcast, where I talk to alumni about their candid experiences as students and what they're doing in life now. Here in season three, we look forward to hearing from alumni across the globe about how Franciscan University has impacted their life and the lives of people around them. I'm your host, Christy Fleming, class of 2010 and director of alumni relations at Franciscan. Thanks for joining Legends from the Hill podcast. Shannon Keating Locks graduated in 2017 with a degree in English and theology, and then she did the master's in catechetics and evangelization in 2022. She was a volunteer with Dirty Vagabond Missions, where she continues to work today. We're honored to hear more from Shannon. Shannon, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Christy.
So I'm excited to hear a little bit more about your journey and what you're up to now. But if we can take a little bit and go back to the beginning of, can you share with us where are you from and how did you choose to come to Franciscan to study?
Sure. Where am I from is always a bit of a hard question to answer. I was an Army brat growing up, so I moved around a lot, lived a couple different places, but how it brought me to Franciscan was that when we moved to Virginia, when I was coming into high school, I joined the youth group there, and my youth minister was connected with Student Mill, and so we would come up over the summer. We did the Student Mill youth conferences, but we also did a week-long mission trip in Student Mill, and so I did that. Yeah, I guess for 4 years, every summer coming up, spending a week in Steubenville, spending time on the campus at the conference, and really, you know, that unique experience of thousands of young people all together, just sharing in this awesome faith experience, but also this, yeah, this group of teenagers who came to also do a week of mission work in a kind of unassuming town. And in a lot of ways, I actually fell in love with Student Mill before I fell in love with the university. Because of that, you know, I just fell in love with that mission trip experience, the people that I met through that who were from town running these ministries. And just really had such inspiration from seeing these people really take their faith seriously and live it out in a radical way, but also in a very accessible and normal way. It was finally like I felt like I experienced that understanding of like, you can be cool and Catholic and passionate about your faith and who God is and what he's doing in your life. And you won't be you will be an outcast, but you won't be an outcast like you think, you know, always. And just really fell in love with those opportunities. And so that's actually what drove me to Franciscan in particular. I wanted to be a high school teacher. I thought, I'd do high school English. I thought there are a lot of places I could go study to do that. I looked at other Catholic universities actually at that point, even though it was not something in anyone in my immediate or even extended family had ever done to attend Catholic school. So I just explored, you know, where we were living, Catholic University, Mount St. Mary's, a lot of, again, like big, awesome universities. But there was just something about Steubenville itself that kept drawing me back.
Wow.
Maybe it was that, before they figured out that sulfur smell and minimized that. But back in the old days when it was a little bit ripe of a scent in Steubenville. But I just, something was drawing me back to want to be there. And so I did. I ended up going to Franciscan in an effort to even have those volunteer experiences. And then even, I mean, funny enough, in some ways, but even my first semester, I thought about leaving because I just hadn't, I'd started to get involved in things, but I felt like I hadn't quite found my place. And I was involved in one ministry in particular, volunteering, that I just felt like I owed it to the teens to remain at least for the full year and see it through. And just the way that the Lord even blessed that like commitment of mine, because it was like then that spring semester of my freshman year, it totally turned around. And it was like, suddenly I did fall in love with the university and fell in love with where I was and really But yeah, just had a transforming experience being there. Mm-hmm. So,
wow, that's so unique. Can I ask what exactly the mission was in Steubenville that you did? Because I haven't heard of people doing that, coming before the conferences to serve the local community.
Sure. So it was purely set up by my youth minister. It wasn't organized, you know, through any other directive other than just his connections and experiences. And we volunteered with some of the well-known Steubenville missions that actually you can still volunteer with when you're even a student. Vagabond Missions, which is actually the organization I work for now, they were the one in particular working with the teens, working with their youth centers. That one in particular, you know, we visited the TOR sisters. We did a lot of other things each Very day, cool. but that one in particular really drew me.
That's so unique. Yeah, a mission trip combined with conferences and kind of gives both the breadth and the life of the church. So that's super unique.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a gift. And I think about even, you know, youth that now attend the conferences, like sometimes that is the sentiment you walk away with is like, what do I do with this? Mm-hmm. And so to have those tangible experiences or reminders of this is really what you're called to do with this, to not just bottle it up, but to really go forth. And so, it was an awesome experience.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Okay. So then your student experience, the first year was a little rocky, but you got involved in some ministries. What else were you involved in? What did you decide to study? How did that process unfold for you?
Sure. I think like the first day of orientation, I changed my major. I was just curious from being now at Franciscan and hearing all about their theology program. I thought maybe I should, you know, rather than studying education, maybe I should study English writing and theology and then do a master's in education, you know, down the line or something like that, work in a Catholic school system. So I ended up doing those two majors. I also minored in German. So I just had a really heavy course load because none of the classes overlapped. You couldn't double dip to cover your majors, but really, really enjoyed just learning. I got involved in a household. I worked in admissions, which was fun. Mm. I got to work with prospective students and give tours and, you know, almost have those daily reminders of telling people what I love about being a student and why they should consider coming. Mm-hmm. That was always like that. You fell back in love almost every day,
right?
Getting to work there. So yeah, I did my undergrad in English and theology. And then I went on actually in the past few years and did the master's in catechetics and evangelization online to just like continue that theology and then catechetical background. But I would say in general, like my student experience was that I was busy. I mean, I did music ministry. I mean, there's even things that I'm like, I was just very busy. I did mission trips. I went to Austria. I volunteered all four years. I don't know how much I slept. Couldn't tell you that.
You took full advantage of everything that was offered. I definitely did. That's amazing. What was the turning point in that first year when you weren't sure and then obviously made that choice to stick around and you've been involved ever since? What was kind of the turning point there?
Yeah, I would say probably two aspects. One being I joined household that spring semester.
Which household? Do you want to give a little shout out?
Stella Maria.
Yeah.
We got our year 25 this year. I had met some of the girls through volunteering and they kind of had taken me in. And so really fell in love with household and being involved and having kind of that more established sense of community than I had really found in the first semester. I really felt like I was more of a floater. And so having a place that started to make it feel like this was home and that I was being seen and known, you know, that really was a big turning point. And then I think like almost to that point of being busy, it was like I started to identify the things that I wanted to invest my time in and then give myself wholeheartedly. And so I rather than simply floating and testing the waters of multiple things, it was like, okay, here are kind of the lanes I'm going to stay in, and really found them to be very life-giving. And so, enjoyed that. And it kind of just helped keep me rooted and kept me at Franciscan.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool. And then so you changed your major, kind of rearranged that path. When you graduated, did you know where you wanted to go, what you wanted to do, or where did that graduation life take you?
Oh, sure. So I had started volunteering at the time. It was Dirty Vagabond Ministries. And I had volunteered all 4 years that I was there. Thought this is great. This is fun. This is a way to live out my faith. And I will still go on to be a high school teacher. And so I looked at a lot of different places as I was preparing to graduate, and just felt like surely the Lord wouldn't have called me to volunteer for 4 years and then keep doing it even longer, especially with my, I mean, in some ways tumultuous like life of moving and constantly every 3 or 4 years, you're like, okay, now we're done here with this and let's move on. And so, almost leaning into my adaptability, I thought for sure I will just go back to what was the original plan or thought or calling on my heart. I think I wrote it in like my fifth grade yearbook that I was going to be a teacher. So who knows, maybe I still will be one, but, I just had through prayer, discernment, and just a real, a calling and awareness that, kind of the, if it's not me, who else are you going to call? Or, you know, like if I'm hearing this place on my heart, I should acknowledge it and go through with it instead of ignoring it, because it's never good, right? We have the whole book of Jonah to remind us how it's not good to ignore the, the call that the Lord has put on your heart. And so, I ended up applying to start a Vagabond Missions location in Pittsburgh. And I took it. And that was right after I graduated. I had my volunteer experience, but I hadn't taken the catechetics classes yet. I just really didn't know what it looked like to start a ministry somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so it was a lot of learning, a lot of growing, a lot of stretching. But again, a lot of just being so exposed before the Lord and him blessing that and gracing my life in many ways. And so, I'm still with Vagabond and I moved up in different ways, just serving the ministry in different ways. I met my husband because he was volunteering with Vagabond at the site. And so he had converted to the church about a year before and had been trying to discern what God would even then want for his life and started volunteering. And so we met that way, which was a huge blessing. And so now I'm the director of mission with Vagabond, and I oversee all 9 of our cities and get to work with our area directors there and still oversee and work with the ministry that we're doing. We're actually traveling down to one of our sites today to go for a few days to visit the missionaries and teens and see how it's going down there. So
I want to kind of pause there, that I'm sure some people are familiar with what Vagabond is, but can you give us a little explanation of what it is and what drew you to it?
Sure. Don't mind if I do. Let's turn this into a Vagabond Missions podcast now. It was one of the missions I had met in Steubenville years prior, at meeting with the teens, but in a small little elevator pitch nutshell of who we are and what we do, we have a heart for making the gospel, making Jesus known to teens who are living in our inner city, low income neighborhoods. And so, we've got 9 mission sites, or 9 mission cities, rather, I should say. Some of them have multiple sites within them, but, we empower and equip missionaries to be in those cities. And it's very incarnational. We take on that approach of even what Jesus did for us, right? That he took on flesh and was willing to enter into our literal mess and become present to us so that we could be saved. And we know that we're not the savior, right? But like we'd love to introduce people to him. We'd love to make people, aware of his presence and his working in their lives. And so, so we work with high school aged youth. We have a great blessing of even getting to walk with them through the RCIA process. Some of our teens, have come through that. And again, we're about to prepare for Lent and another season of welcoming even more teens into the church. And so, that's a small pitch of who we are, what we do, and why I fell in love with it was just, I felt like it was this great need. Even in Steubenville where all these people were, I mean, there were a lot of theology catechetics majors. There were a lot of people radically on fire with their faith. But not a lot of them would always get involved in things, it just felt a little counterintuitive to me that the Lord has literally the last thing he could have said before he ascended into heaven, like, go and pray every day or go and, talk to my mother and as soon she'll reveal the rosary to you or go and make sure you have a holy hour in front of the Blessed Sacrament. But no, he said, go and make disciples of all men, those are his last words on earth that's pretty, pretty powerful of a command to remind us that like, it's not meant just for us and it's not meant to be an unreachable secret of the elite, and there was this need that in our cities where the church was really starting to die. We see even here in Pittsburgh, we've had a lot of closures and mergers. And at this point, very few churches within the city limits are active parishes. And there's a whole lot of factors that play into that. But just knowing that I benefited from youth ministry, a thriving youth group in my suburb in Virginia, and got to know who Jesus was and my life could be transformed. And there was this gaping need in our cities where people, truly are abandoned in many ways, not just in the faith, but in their own lives, in their families, school systems, what have you. And so, I love being a part of it because we get to live out that command to invite people into who he is and what he wants to do for their lives. So that's Vagabond for you.
Yeah, that's amazing. And you've at this point been involved with Vagabond for so long. So I'm sure you've seen just all the fruits that come from it and the transformation that happens with these teens, which is amazing.
Yeah. And not only with them, right? But with ourselves. I mean, the people that I'm one of many who have met their spouse through the mission, who have just had their own life career transformed by meeting the teens or encountering these experiences. And in many ways, right, like our faith life, I was saying I was busy in college. I used to think I was in, some Mother Teresa spiritual dryness. Like, first of all, you never compare yourself to saints like that. But I made that mistake and thought to myself, like, oh, I don't hear or experience the Lord because, I have so much going on. And through my senior year at school, and then even again, starting into mission, it was like this radical awareness that I had just kept myself busy and away from the Lord rather than experiencing him. And the way that he transformed me and pruned my heart in a lot of ways to prepare me, and prepare the way to, just be radically abandoned to him. I think that's a lot of what our missionaries, what we experience in this mission is a real conversion to radical abandonment, because it is not in our hands what goes on in these cities. It is not in our hands what a teen does or doesn't do. Like, it is entirely just trusting in the Lord and that he's drawing them to himself and that we get to be a part of that. So it's definitely transformative for us too.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm super inspired by all that is given and you have to be a really special person that has that relationship with God to then share it with the inner city. So it's very inspiring. So thank you for you and your team and all the people across the U.S. who are doing this so well.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Well, that kind of takes me to my next question of you reflecting back on your time as a student. Do you have any advice to students today based on your experience and just what you, you know, retrospect, hindsight's 2020 of, yeah, any advice for them?
Sure. I would say definitely get involved and take advantage of, I mean, everything that Franciscan has to offer. But don't let yourself get too busy, right? Like it's that like balance of how do I find and experience things that challenge and push me, but also don't get too overwhelmed. And I think, you know, you can find the groups on campus pretty easily where you're like, wow, what don't you do? You know, but really I think the way that like, again, looking back, the way that I would encourage myself or others to look at it is like, what's an opportunity that's really going to challenge you to grow, right? Like what's an opportunity that's really going to push you outside of yourself, like lean into those. Right. And then there's going to be a whole lot of comfortable, fun things that you can also lean into. But maybe don't waste as much of your time with that, because what good is being comfortable, you know? So I think that would kind of be how I would look back and just say, like, you know, as much as you love leading music and doing music ministry, maybe this isn't the season for that, you know, maybe because you've done it before, you take a pause on that. So there were definitely those moments where looking back, I could have let myself be challenged in some ways and lay some things that were more comfortable, more familiar, more, you know, not as challenging, not as pushing me to grow. I could have laid those a little bit to rest and let myself grow a little bit.
There is something about those college years that you're kind of safe and protected. So take some risks and explore something new while you have the freedom to do that without, you know, too high of stakes that are there.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially again, I mean, the opportunities that you can take risks on are like going on a mission trip to a foreign country, you know,
right.
Going to study abroad. Like those right. are pretty great risks.
Exactly. That's amazing. Very good. All right. Well, to close up here, I would love to hear some of your answers to our hot takes from the Hill. So just some questions to take you back to that student experience. Who was your favorite professor?
Oh, that's like a three-way tie. Dr. Sunyoger, Dr. Bergsma, and Dr. Polly. I guess that hits the English theology and catechetics realms, but whether in my undergraduate or graduate studies, those probably would be the names that would stick out as just the variety of classes I had with them, the approach that they took. I love learning, and they really help you continue to love learning,
right?
The way that they taught. So yeah,
that's amazing. Can you narrow it down to a favorite class that you've taken?
I would have to look at a list to even know the names of classes I took. I know that it was very interesting, like in the graduate side of things, to be working in ministry and then continuing to learn about how to do ministry. I mean, there were some classes or projects even within those classes where I literally made something that I could then use with teens, and that was awesome. But I also loved, you know, like when I was studying in Austria and I took some of the just standard core classes that you have to take, some of the philosophy classes, metaphysics, I think was the name of one of them, you know, those opportunities where you just get to be more well-rounded in how do you even approach thinking or what is going on in this world. So there were particular classes that were really within my niche, within my field, that were awesome. The theology classes that brought my faith life, you know, to a whole new level. But then there were also those classes where it was like, yeah, the university is requiring me to take this. And yet, like, it's extremely enjoyable because it's testing me and pushing me to think of things in a different way, you know, aside from maybe my introductory math class, maybe I could have done away with that one. But other than that, like, these, even the core classes really, like, yeah, just help you see and expand your approach to schooling. So yeah, sorry. No, I can't really pick out or name a class for you.
Fair enough. Fair enough. You've taken a lot. Yeah. Well, it sounds like as a student, you had a lot of time that you needed to study. Did you have a favorite place on campus or off campus to study?
I found myself studying in the common room a lot. I lived on wing a lot, and I think I would be up later than my roommate usually. So I'd have to be outside of my room to study, but I was not a library goer. I think it's like too quiet potentially. Yeah. But I found myself there, I think my senior spring when I was, or my fall, one of the semesters I worked on my English thesis, and I think I found myself there in the library for the first time ever, checking out books.
A little more of a social studier, huh?
Yeah, very much so.
Nice. All right. So of all your campus activities that you were involved in, can you narrow it down to a favorite campus activity as a student?
I don't know if this would count, but growing in friendship, I think it really was like the opportunity on campus to just really have some of the best friends. I mean, just some of the best friendships I still have to this day, friendships where I'm the godparent to their child, you know, like it just, or they're the godparent to my child, you know, like it just is such a unique place. And I think like, because campus itself is like this countercultural college experience, yes, there's things. I mean, I did a few intramurals, or I obviously listed a couple different activities I did. Like there are a lot of activities where those things in particular might be someone's highlight. But I would say just like the generalized, like growing in those friendships and getting to know people. And it's just those moments where it was just like so different than what you have literally seen in movies or hear from peers of what a college experience can be. And getting to know that, like, yeah, there's just something special about the Hill where everyone wanted to be living that way. And so, like, just spending time in that way was even, like, an enjoyable activity or experience.
Yeah, very authentic friendship can be formed. It's, yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, and it's wild how, I mean, just the way that it carries over years later, you know, you hear about people with sororities or fraternities or, you know, this law class or stuff like that. Like there are these connections in other places. But you add the faith element to it and it starts to become like the people with their focus missionaries where like now they're their best man in their wedding. You know, it's like something about the fact that who God is and what he's doing in our lives is what's uniting us in an even more intimate way. And we're openly discussing that, right? Like the fact that with household, we'd sit down once a week to talk about that. I mean, that's just such an important piece, I think, to the human, the human experience. And there are very few places where you get that, where young people want to dive into those kind of conversations and transformations together. So yeah, it's definitely something unique and special that there's a understanding, an atmosphere there that's in place.
Yeah. Great. All right, last question here. Have you ever run into an alum in an unexpected place?
Yes and no. I mean, I live in Pittsburgh, so it's really easy to run into alums or go back to Steubenville or stuff like that. But I would say this was funny. I was at, we were visiting my parents for Christmas this past year, and I walk into Mass holding my daughter. And right in front of me, as I'm walking, standing in the hallway, is someone I went to Austria with and her husband. And I'm like, we went on mission trips together, Austria Aww. Together, and even the ski trip together. And I was like, what are you doing here? In, you know, North Carolina, 9 hours, you know, randomly. Yeah. I thought they had actually moved about a year earlier. I thought they were still living in the Virginia area, but you just truly never know right. where you'll run into someone.
And church is a good bet that you'll find yes, somebody in a parish.
For sure.
That's yeah. amazing. Well, it's so good to hear your story. It's really wonderful and inspiring to see, you know, how God has worked through ministry and how you're able to now give back. So thank you for all that you're doing and for just continuing to do what Jesus has asked us. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Christy. It's an honor.
Do you know an alumni with a story to tell? We want to share legends from the entire university history and would love your suggestions. Email us at alumni@franciscan.edu. And I'll be back here in 2 weeks with a new conversation you won't want to miss.